There are roughly 2,037 hours that make up this summer season. Soon, you can spend about 2 hours of that on The Incredible Hulk with Ed Norton.
I've got a problem. There are aspects of my personality that I can't control.
See a shrink.
It's a little bit more complicated than that.
Bruce, trust me when I tell you, I've heard them all.
Not this one.
And another couple hours on The Dark Knight.
So what are you proposing?
It's simple. Kill the Batman. Here's my card.
Bruce, this is Harvey Dent.
Rachel's told me everything about you.
I certainly hope not.
Okay, but then what do you do with the more than 2,030 hours left? What are you going to do? Go outside? It's not air-conditioned out there. Rather than leave you alone with oxygen, we called in our movie guy Dan Holloway on a special mission. He dropped by to give Mike Pesca and myself a summer watching list. Some things we'd heard of and some we hadn't. Can we talk about the latest Pixar phenom?
Please.
Wall-E. What's up with this film? June 27th it comes out.
First Pixar movie since Ratatouille last year. It's about a trash compacting robot who's left behind on Earth after all of the humans have to leave. And some aliens come by, he makes a friend, he ends up going on an intergalactic journey to find meaning in his life.
That sounds awesome, but I also hear that this is kind of a silent movie?
Yeah, it is kind of a silent movie. If you've seen the previews, that Wall-E doesn't really talk a lot. He just kind of makes noises, and I think it's going to be really...
Is this compelling storytelling?
I think this could be really compelling storytelling. I think Pixar is the one studio that can make, even though they now fall under the Disney umbrella, that can make big feature-length animated films that find large American audiences, and they have enough wiggle room to be a little experimental with them.
Okay, what else is out there that you're looking forward to?
Also coming out this summer is a movie called The Whackness, which I saw at Sundance. It stars Ben Kingsley, Josh Peck from Nickelodeon's The Adventures of Drake and Josh, and Olivia Thirlby, who played Juno McGuff's best friend in Juno.
Oh yeah. I was saying she's got to be in more movies. She was great.
Yeah,
she's kind of awesome. And Josh Peck plays a young man who is a high school pot dealer. Ben Kingsley is his therapist and also a client. He gets weekly marijuana deliveries from him. And
wow,
Peck
Ben
eventually starts dating Olivia Thirlby's character, who is Ben's daughter.
Wait a second. Is there an Olsen twin in this movie, too?
Yes. This movie, besides being called The Whackness, is also known as the film in which Ben Kingsley and Mary-Kate Olsen dry hump in a phone booth.
No.
Yes.
Well, one of a series. I mean, they're going to be like
subtitle.
Fred and Ginger. It's just like them dancing and
they're
Kinsley
the new on-screen couple. They're, yeah.
So do you like this film?
I do like this film. This was actually one of my favorite movies I saw at Sundance. I mean, it was one of the bigger movies to play at Sundance. Clearly, it's got some big actors in it. It wasn't like it was going to struggle to find distribution, but I really did like it. It's kind of the anti-Juno. Everybody, you know, the kids are all doing the same sort of things, but it's not treated in the saccharine way. You know, they're doing them, they are more illicit. They're doing lots of drugs all the time. When they have sex, it's not this innocuous, like, sweet sort of thing. It's a little realer, I think, but still very much an entertainment.
I think we may have a clip.
Around you, Luke, is this what you want for your mind, for your life? You want it to be like the city, sweep all the nasty bits under the rug, make everything okay? Puts the homeless people in prison, you know? These people are sick mentally. They're being put in jail. What do you think about that, Luke?
Doesn't seem right.
No, it doesn't. That's why I don't want your medication, Luke. You may as well open up a Starbucks in your brain. You follow me? Don't jump for the quick fix. Embrace your pain. Make it a part of you. You don't want to be like them. I don't want you to be like them.
So what, you never taken any of that stuff?
Jesus, Luke, I'm on all of it. I don't want you to be like me either.
Speaking of drugs, this is a very rough segue into another film, Pineapple Express.
Pineapple Express.
What do you know about this movie?
David Gordon Green and the gentleman who brought us Superbad and pretty much every comedy that's come out in the last 2 years.
Apatow.
Yes, the Apatow crew. Apatow. They've done a movie called Pineapple Express with Seth Rogen and James
shocking.
Franco. Yeah, Seth Rogen.
Oh, but I
in
like
an Apatow
him.
Movie. Who'd have thunk it?
And Rogue and Franco's been silently in movies like Knocked Up. They go back to Freaks and Geeks days.
They do go back to
they
Freaks and Geeks.
They were freaks together. together, Rogan and Franco.
And if you were a fan of Freaks and Geeks, this is a welcome film because you see Franco kind of going back to his stoner roots. You know, he's made some attempts at doing more serious movies. He's made some attempts at becoming a sort of matinee idol. And, of course, he was in the Spider-Man films. This is him playing a drug dealer, which isn't too far off from what he was doing back in Freaks and Geeks.
Brass Tacks.
Yes, yes.
Just got a shipment of the dopest dope I've ever smoked. Hands down, dopest dope I've ever smoked.
It's
right
not
here.
Better than the Blue Oyster weed. It can't be. I can't handle better than
this
that.
This is like if that Blue Oyster met that Afghan Kush I had, and they had a baby, and then meanwhile, that crazy Northern Light stuff I had, and the Super Red Espresso Snowflake met and had a baby, and by some miracle, those two babies met, and this would be the that they birthed.
Wow.
Yes.
This is the product of baby okay.
Smell it. Enjoy.
What else you got? What else is good?
Also good, coming on August 22nd, which is a little late in the summer, Hamlet 2, which is directed by Andrew Fleming. This movie actually was the big money purchase at Sundance this year. And it's starring the comedian Steve Coogan. He plays a New Mexico drama teacher who, in order to save his program, stages a sequel of Hamlet that he wrote featuring lightsaber battles and musical numbers with titles such as Rock Me Sexy Jesus.
Mm.
Hey, it's done.
What is?
My original work that's going to save drama, the thing I've been working on for the last 47 billion hours.
Oh, is that what you were doing? I thought you were just having a nervous meltdown.
You're not far off, Lady Pence. Any creative person will tell you, you got to go a little crazy to make great art.
Hamlet 2?
The deuce, correct.
Doesn't everybody die at the end of the first one?
I have a device.
The time machine door.
That's the device.
Opens, revealing Hamlet, Gertrude, Polonius, and Hillary Clinton having what appears to be group sex.
It's about my troubled relationship with my father.
Let's talk about a blockbuster-y potential movie by a real credible indie and exceptional director, Hellboy 2.
Yeah, Guillermo del Toro. Last film was Pan's Labyrinth, and as geeks all over America know, he is now going to be doing parts 1 and 2 of The Hobbit, hopefully with Ian McKellen and some other people from Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings movies that Jackson's going to produce. This is the sequel to his 2004 film starring Ron Perlman of Beauty and the Beast fame, also Selma Blair. It's based on the comic by Mike Mignola. And I think this is, you know, Del Toro is sort of an artsier action director. This is still going to be a very big film, but for folks who just can't bear the idea of sitting through the Hulk or, you know, some of these other films, this has the potential to be the sort of action blockbuster with an edge.
When our world is threatened,
I have returned to wage war and reclaim our land.
My forces beyond our understanding. Our government turns to an elite, top secret organization.
We're moving out.
We had over 70 guests reported. We have no survivors.
Same story here, babe.
Don't call me babe.
Hey, I said, hey.
Red, we have company.
Here's the question I have about this. According to IMDb, Hellboy's the first one. The original budget was $66 million, and it grossed a total of $60 million, so it didn't make back its budget. Why is did it become some huge cult favorite? Why would they make a sequel to Hellboy of all movies?
I'm sure if it came close to making on domestic box office what it cost to make, I'm sure it more than made up for it internationally and on DVD. It's the type of movie that probably did really well on DVD. And Del Toro won a lot of attention for Pan's Labyrinth, and you know, the Hobbit deal just got inked, but that's certainly not going to hurt this film. I think this film has a chance to do much, much better than its predecessor at the box office.
Hmm. Tell me about the movie that stars Aaron Eckhart as a veteran, and he has a 13-year-old neighbor. Do you know this one, Towelhead?
Yes, I do, actually.
I don't want to give away the title, and you'll see why.
This is directed by Alan Ball, who was the creator of Six Feet Under. and also a graduate of my alma mater, Florida State University, so which is a very big deal for us because we don't have much. We've got him and Buddy Ebsen and Burt Reynolds, and that's it.
Deion Sanders has done some work.
Yeah. But yeah, it's directed by Alan Ball. It's actually his first feature as a director. He also wrote American Beauty, and it's about a Lebanese-American girl who moves to Houston to live with her father and encounters some not nice neighbors. And also turns out that her father's not such a nice guy either.
So, Senior Holloway, if you, because you are a movie expert, had to forecast some things that this movie may have going against it in terms of scoring big box office, what would some of those things be, would you say?
Well, you could look at the theme or the setting, or you could look at the fact that the title's a racial slur.
Yes, Towelhead.
Yeah.
And interestingly, we've just found out from a whisper from our producer, Jacob Gans, they went back and forth on this title. And if you go to look up Towelhead in IMDb, it returns the movie Nothing is Private. So it was based on a book called Towelhead. And then the movie was called Nothing is Private. But now I think they have indeed embraced Towelhead.
Huh. Wonder if they think that's... I mean, it's definitely provocative.
That's just kind of like waving the white flag of we don't really care if people come see this movie.
Right. Although Nothing is Private doesn't really say much as a title. It's sort of the absence of a title.
It sounds like a movie like starring Jennifer Connelly where she looks forlorn and...
I'd watch that, by the way.
Yeah.
forlorn well.
Dan Holloway, movie critic for Metro Papers and movie critic for us, the Brian Park Project. Dan, thanks for giving us so much to look forward to this summer. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
So there's another film coming out this summer. We didn't get a chance to talk with Dan about it. It's called Mongol. It's directed by Sergei Bodrov. It was nominated for Best Foreign Film earlier this year at the Oscars, and it was made in Kazakhstan, being released this summer in the U.S. Story of Genghis Khan. Interesting tidbit to note, it is not pronounced Genghis. It is pronounced Genghis Khan. I'm invoking my inner Pesca to kind of set the record straight. Ian Chillog joins me in the studio now to share, it's your turn to provide an interesting tidbit about all things Mongolian.
Okay, well this isn't about all things Mongolian, but...
some things Mongolian, anything Mongolian.
I run marathons, mm-hmm. and I have a friend who is Mongolian and he's blind, and I serve as a guide for him through marathons. He doesn't speak any English whatsoever.
Does he live in America?
He lives in Ohio now. He lives kind of with another Mongolian man, and so he's really learned almost nothing, which made it a real challenge to guide this guy through marathons. Anyway, so I thought I would try and learn some Mongolian to tell him,
you
need to get out of the way, there's a pothole.
Yeah.
But I went online, and what I learned is if you're trying to learn Mongolian and you go to any Mongolian English translator, the first thing you're going to learn everywhere is the Mongolian for the phrase, "May your mustache grow like brushwood." Which is...
that's, compliment.
Yeah. It's like...
A blessing.
Best wishes. Yeah.
That's good to know, Ian. Mm-hmm. It's good to know. Speaking of summer movies, Jacob Gans, anything you're looking forward to?
Not a lot that I'm looking forward to. I mean, there's plenty out there that...
You're
that
so negative,
I know,
Jacob.
Yeah,
you're
really,
always
I'm
with the negative.
I'm trying to cultivate an air of general grumpiness.
Fine. What's the worst movie coming out this summer?
I don't know if it's going to be the worst, but I can tell you what movie I'm really not looking forward to based on the trailers.
Yeah.
M. Night Shyamalan's The Happening.
Oh.
Agreed.
It's supposed to be scary.
It's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We'll see how it goes.
I thought it was a remake of a movie adaptation of What's Happening, so I was excited, but it's not.
Okay, there you have it, folks. Some things Mongolian, some things to look forward to in the films, in the... theaters this summer, some things perhaps to avoid. And you know what? That does it for this hour of the Bryant Park Project. But we don't go away. We're online all the time at npr.org/Bryant Park. Enjoy your Memorial Day. I'm Rachel Martin, and this is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.